This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
We usually, for this Bava Malkus, we try to learn about some Gadol, history, biography of some Gadol. We used to do it the Feast Seder of the Yard Sites. I tried to pick someone who's got to be the next month. There aren't that many known Yard Sites, so we started going historically. And the person that I would like to speak about today is Reb Yehuda Chassid. Reb Yehuda Chassid was part of a tkufa, a very mysterious tkufa in Klal Yisrael. It was called the tkufa of Chassidei Ashkenaz. This was in the times of Balei Tosfos, 1100, 1200s. It was people who were noyheg with extraordinary sigufim, hanhoges, lifnei mishuras hadin of all sorts. The three people that we know their names that are very famous was Reb Shmuel HaChassid, the father of Reb Yehuda Chassid. Reb Yehuda Chassid was probably the most famous of them, and his Talmud, the Rekeach. Those are the three most noted of what's called Chassidei Ashkenaz. They were extremely ascetic, a lot of inyanim lifnei mishuras hadin, gematrios, and things of that nature. What we don't know is a lot more than what we know. And of the three, the most famous of them would be Reb Yehuda Chassid. He was born in Spires in Germany, and in about 1155, and he was niftin 1217 in Regensburg. Most of his life he spent in Regensburg, which is a big German town. One of the things I try to mention is where am I getting my information from? It's unfortunate people, when they say over stories, biographies like that, the question, where do you know it from? People are puzzled. Well, I don't know it. I found it says somewhere. Well, where does it say? Where did that person get it from? It's one thing if I write about somebody I know, you can be done. Am I accurate? Not accurate. But when I write about somebody who lived 700 years ago, where do we know? Well, there's almost zero information on Reb Yehuda Chassid, except we'll soon talk a little bit about what we do know. Whatever little bit there is was put together by the two places that at least bring the material with notes where they got it from is Reb Reuven Margolyes. He's the one who put out Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim is one of the works, one of the few things that we have from Yehuda Chassid, very famous classic work. So in the Hakdamah that Reb Reuven Margolyes brings a little bit of information. There was somebody else of Kamelhar, also same information basically. The place where a lot of information came from, in other words, other than some dry facts about Sfarim that he wrote, things like that, come from a book called a Meisebuch, which means a book of stories. 275 stories written in Yiddish. The stories are fantastic stories. Unknown author, unknown year, and totally unclear as to why we should trust stories in any sense. The stories are all gewaltic stories, the type of stuff that, you know, if you have a camp or something, that really makes great stories. Just to give you a flavor, there are 5 stories on Rashi, and I think 30 stories on Reb Yehuda Chassid. So obviously the stories of Reb Yehuda Chassid make for much better reading than stories on Rashi. I'm not going to go through the stories on Reb Yehuda Chassid. They're all fantastic stories. But there's like one story, just so that we can understand the problems and issues of some of the stories. The story goes like this. Reb Shmuel HaChassid was a Rosh Hashiva, his father. We know that. We know he was a big Talmid Chacham, and he had a big and he had a yeshiva that we know. He had a son, Reb Avram, who learned in that yeshiva and eventually became Rosh Yeshiva. Now we know also, that's historical, we have back and forth and so on, the name is mentioned, that we know also. So the story goes that Reb Yehuda HaChassid was a wild kid, didn't learn a word, didn't even know how to daven, and just basically played around outside the bows and arrows. And then at the age of 18, he decided, I guess he got a little bored of stuff outside. He came into the Beis Medrash and started shooting arrows or something. And the Talmidim had enough, and they told his father, like, I don't stand. You're such a gadol, your children are gadolim, and this kid is just a per adam. He's 18 and he knows nothing. So he said a certain shame, a very holy shame, and his son Reb Avram couldn't, like, he looked down, he couldn't even look at it. And it didn't faze Reb Yehuda at all. Or Yehuda, I guess I'd call him if that's what he was. So then he said an even holier name, and then his son Reb Avram had to hide himself in his father's under his father's garment. He couldn't stand the light. And Yehuda Chassid just looked down, but he didn't need to hide. So his father turned to Reb Avram and said, you're going to be a big Rosh Yeshiva, but your brother, he's going to know what's doing in the Shemayim Lamala and the Aretz Lamata. He will know much more than you, because I could see his neshama is holier, because, you know, he didn't get fazed by the Shem Hashem. And from that point onwards, I don't know what, but kids, that's it. Now, again, I there's zero reason to believe the story in any way. But the problem is, when you repeat a story like that, so the first thing is that being a Maravich Torah is a consolation prize. If you can't be a Rebbe, then you be a Maravich Torah. I guess it's like a consolation prize. And becoming a Ish Kaddish doesn't require sitting and learning and harving. It requires, I don't know what. And you can wave magic wands and say Shemus HaKadoshim and turn people instantly into big tzaddikim and gdolim and kubolim. Everything about the story is a bad lesson. And so, Mele, if we knew that it was true, we'd have to sit down and be ma'ayin in it, explain it and understand it. You know, that from that point onward, Reb Yehuda HaChassid mamish sat and learned with such hasmada and such sitkas and so on. But I don't know why I'm mechuyev to believe any of the story. It was an anonymous storybook written to entertain children. And a lot of it gets quoted incessantly. But that's the mocker of it. So all those stories, I excluded. What we do know, what do we know of Reb Yehuda HaChassid? Where do we give him his place? First of all, he's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. He's brought down Tosfos. First of all, Tosfos brings him Ksubis Bamitzia on the halach of Migdach Hashem Merich Hashashvus. In a halachic inyan, he quotes Reb Yehuda HaChassid. Shulchan Aruch brings a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. If a person is used to fasting, and to eat on Shabbos would be painful, because I guess he fasts every day and he just eats a little bit at night. So Reb Yehuda HaChassid was noyig not to eat on Shabbos because he fasted all week long. It was too painful, too difficult. So you see from it that if a person finds eating to be painful, then you don't have to, then you can fast on Shabbos. That's brought down halacha. Dagos Maimon is the thing, quotes him on another halacha. I think Dagos Maimon brings him, or the Mordechai, they bring him that he would fast 2 days on Kippur as a suffix. That's brought down. There is a Ruah who is from the big pillars of Hiroah. There's a Ruah, Reb Yitzchak Mivina. He speaks about him in tremendous Harocha and their Heretz and so on. So the contemporaries who are the Gdolei Torah and Gdolei Halacha speak of him in terms of Chshivas, as a very big person. So we know that there was a person, Reb Yehuda HaChassid, who was known as a Chassid, meaning tremendous hanhagas lefnei mishuras hadin, and he was given tremendous respect by his contemporaries. That we know about him. That's one thing that we know about. And you know that in general, the way in which we understand where the place of Anashim Golem is by seeing what contemporaries with what did they in what type of respect did they hold him, and Rabbi Rachas is Rabbi Rachas. So that's his makom in what we know of in history. He wrote many sfarim. We have very few of the sfarim that we have. One of them is called, many of his sfarim are referenced by others and himself. So we do know that there were many sfarim written, 20, 25, 30 sfarim. A lot of names of sfarim are there. For the longest of times, we had Sefer Chassidim, which is a collection of all sorts of hanhagis, ashkafis, very random. It's a very, very hard sefer to find something in because there's no real seder advarim. But that became accepted as his work. We know it's his work, and it's referenced to as one of the works of Gedolei Rishonim. It's not always easy to know exactly what he meant because there's no context. When you learn a sefer that's written in a certain seder, so you get a sense where it's coming from. Sefer Chassidim is very random, but each paragraph, each piece has a number to it, and we can reference it and so on and so forth. Some other sfarim have come out over the years. They've published Kesef Yadis, Sefer Gematrius, and we'll speak later about another sefer of his on Chumash and so on. The most, he also wrote Piyutim, Anim Zmirois, Shir HaKavod and Shir Yichud are attributed to him and or to his father or maybe both of them, but the Shir Yichud and Shir HaKavod is the long one we say on Yom Kippur. There are many people I know to say Yom Kippur night, and the Shir HaKavod is Anim Zmirois are attributed either to him or to his father, but certainly from his base medrash. Those are the things that we know about him. The Mamre Rotenberg refers to him. All of these are references that we know who it is and so on and so forth. The what starts becoming extremely interesting, incomprehensible, and has really become something that has, in halacha, has hundreds and hundreds of things written about it, is called the Tzavos Rabbi Rachasid. Now, I want to explain something that people don't understand about Sefarim. If a contemporary Mechaber writes a Sefer, Chidush Rabbi Yaakov, so Rabbi Yaakov writes a Sefer, he has it typed up, he brings it in to print, and these are the Chiddushim of Rabbi Yaakov. None of that, so the Sfarim of the earlier ones were manuscripts rolling around. It wasn't always clear who the Mechaber was. It wasn't dictated by the Mechaber. Many times it was a Talmud who wrote down those notes. And then we have different Kisvei Yadis that are seiser each other. And it's very, very hard to get a firm grip on who wrote it. Is it just a Talmud writing from this Rebbe? Which manuscript is reliable, which not? So Sefer Chassidim, Eichshu, we have a fairly two nuschos, but it's something that's more established. This Tzavos Rabbi Rachasid, we have dozens of versions of it. Sometimes attached to Sefer Chassidim, sometimes not. It says there are 70, there are not 70 in it. And these are warnings, admonitions to maybe his children, maybe to everybody else. A person should not do this, should not do this, should not do this. They have no makor in the Gemara, or sometimes they're fakert in the Gemara. There are tremendous amount of stiras in the Kisvei Yadis. first of all, many of them appear in one Ksabiyad, not the other one. Many of them appear in very different Ruschos, very different versions. And it's a hodgepodge of stuff. And the question is, how relevant is it? Now, some of it is not that relevant, but the ones that have become extremely applicable is having the same names. In other words, marrying that if the prospective chasna kala is the same name as the prospective father-in-law, mother-in-law, he seemingly writes not to, but it's very unclear. He writes not to marry a niece, which halachically is mutter. He writes not to marry not to marry your wife's sister immediately after your wife passed away, which again in halacha there's no such restriction, and on things like that. Not to move into a new house, not to move a new house of stone, not to build a house where no house was built before, all sorts of things like that. And the question is, what do we do with it? What do we make with it? Is it him? Is it meant just for his children? Is it a halacha? Is it an issur? What in the world is it? That has become, and it's very hard. How do you deal with it? How do you know what to do with it? The best compilation of all the shittas and so on is recently means the last 20 years, 10, 20 years, Oitza Poiskim put out Tzavos Yibira Chosir HaMefur. It's this thick, and it has every single line in the Tzavos that's written in any one of the Kisiyadis, all the variations, all the tshuvas of the Poiskim, from those who say you must keep it at all costs to those who say it's nonsense and you can't keep it. Everything you want and anything in between is there. And they also bring whatever small biographical material there is in so on. But this is a very fascinating inyan. We have here something, we have something written by somebody who was recognized as being a very, very big person. Somebody who was recognized as being a chassid beyond, you know, it's, and so on. Insai is a Talmud Chacham, and Insai as an ish chassid, he was considered to be from the giants of that generation. And he writes something, and what are you supposed to do with it? So I want to read over three different tshuvas that deal with it in very different ways, and you see different shitas, different hashkafas. It's very fascinating because it's a lot more negia for a lot many more things. The first one is the Nei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, generally speaking, people are so makbid on it. The Velt says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have put the Aseres HaDibris in Tzavos Yibira Chassid, people would be a lot more inclined to observe it. That's so. Here is a Nei Rabbi Yehuda. The Nei Rabbi Yehuda was asked by a Talmud of his, "Bedvar Hashiduch HaMedubah LeGisoseich in Ben Torah VeYachsin." So they spoke a shidduch for his sister-in-law with a Talmud Chacham and a person of Yichus. The name that was added to him when he was sick is the same name as the father of the girl. Ahuvi Talmidei, he says, Lula Avoscha, if I wouldn't like you so much, ain't daikilash miyonim ke'elu, I wouldn't even reply to this. Dvarim she'ein lam shoresh b'talmud poiskim. Something has no mucker in the Gemara poiskim. Because I like you so much, I really feel compelled to write to you. Inscribe these words deeply in your heart. Nobody that comes after the Gemara, no matter how big he is, has no right to say anything that's connected to the Gemara. And if a person even writes a kutzah shiur against the Gemara, lo yechoshe b'chal chochmei Yisrael, he's not chochmei Yisrael. V'omnam, he says, If we find somebody that it's clear he was a godly Torah in Yira, Shekosa b'sefer dvar soisa divrei Talmud, who writes something in a sefer that's connected to Gemara, chayov manu l'mashkuni nafshin, means we have to go out on a limb, l'taritzvarev, and find some answer for what he said. Shle dibarak l'shoah, maybe it was something to get that particular time, it wasn't a good time, or l'mishpacha pratis, or to a certain family, v'divrei Talmud maklal, the Gemara is true as a general rule, and this was a particular case. He said, there are things in the Savor that you're not even say. He says, you're not allowed to marry the daughter of your sister. Gemara says, it's a mitzvah. He says that a father and a daughter shouldn't marry two sisters. Rav Papa and his son married two daughters of Abba Surah. He writes that two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. It says, there are many things in Savor that are connected to Gemara. If the Savor was meant for Klal Yisrael, we couldn't, it would be also completely mekabel. Avoli says the emissary darkoi, the kachosid lezara achav tziva. It's a particular tzava for his own children. Kiro baruch hakodesh shezara lo yatzliach bezivugin keilu. He saw that in his own family such shiduchim would not be matzliach, and therefore it's not so. He said the Talmud speaks in general. He speaks about this particular family. Ve'oira mina. Then he goes into, he even wants to answer it, even Lashita's Rabbi Rachosid, there's no problem. And then he finishes off and he says, Yoshver wants to take an Edom with a Talmud Chacham. Utmahane Rev Olam says, I wonder about people, Shalos says, Bitom Lama Oret, who Poshet Etzlam. That an Amoritz married the daughter, that's okay, no problem. Which is fakert from Chazal that says kilo koyps of neari. Ulitchatinim tzuva bon to marry Talmud Chacham sheshmoy kishma heim shalim. That becomes a whole shaila. So marrying an Amoritz is no shaila. The Gemara says that it's like throwing a daughter to the lions. No one ever came and asked me if the son-in-law is a Talmud Chacham enough. But shame kishmayin it's avos yibir chosid. That's where it becomes from. V'lachein daiti yigmo chasan chashirich hazav yasam ma'aseim shemayim divir rabba chater shlemcha. That's Rabbi Huda's tshuva. It's a landmark tshuva, very very strong tshuva. Chasam Seifer writes al dvar ma shenimtzav kosev b'seifer behetiv liyoredeya simukuf ein tes b'shem tzavos yibir chosid. Sheyesh sakona lebeina bayis avonim. He writes, he brings from Tzavos Yibir Chosid that building a house of stones is sakona. Vegam lebeina bayis b'mokshem b'sham bayis avonim, and to build a house where no house has been built is also a sakona. Ve'amri inshi, people say, what's the eitzah? Laniach b'bayis tarnegol zochon ekevel shetam sham. You leave over. So what you do is you bring in a couple, a chicken couple. So they're the ones who are now living the house. And then you shech them, so the klolos chal on them. V'nidme l'malosa k'darke mori, and you felt that this is darke mori. So he says, I explained to you what the v'ani oimer shachoshin l'dvarim elu shenem, and shosh ha-goins, all the people that choshin for what the Bira Chosid said, dimu shem yanichu sham zman ma zug tanegolim, a tanegol is called a gever in Lashon Kodesh, so they're called gvarim. So these gvarim, men, you know, are the people who live there. And this becomes like a pidyon nefesh, dugmas hakapar shenoyget. Avol the Chasam Sofer says, toyves is sheloy lochush ledvarim ha'eluk yetzu ben klal. It's something that better, you shouldn't be choshesh for it. Dvarim sheuske b'shasa poiskim, zat mensh eim b'shasa poiskim. V'loy rebuta chosid aleim. And it's clearly not rebuta chosid because it's soysa something in a sefer chsidim. And then he gets another one. He says, why is being of Avonim a bad thing? Because it shows you want to be permanently in Golus, but Tibizman has said that we need the houses. Basically, he's matchik and says, don't pay attention to it, and it's okay. It's good if you start living there by learning and davening the house, you know, make a minyan there. That's the best thing. Then he again has another shaila in Ebenezer. Misha roitzu ladavik ben toivim bachar v'toiv. Somebody wants to take a good bachar. And el dechayish mashakosav oilam mishum shemes habachim achoisin b'shem imar k'shem imar shemedechas. Same issue. So he says a klal. A mandalay kopid like abdina badei. It's a quote from the Gemara. It says, if it doesn't bother you, you know, a person who would bother, who feels queasy about it, he shouldn't do it. But if you don't, you're not makbid. Or befatikan schus teira. Or beemes is it lematzosich shaseb sefer chesidim klal kim besimetov ein zayin, that where it says about three women whose names are the same. Vesulaim tzedava, vezechibur shabir achosid, and bemel tzavos shabir achosid. Is not reliable, and so on. Actually, Chassam Sefer had two daughters. He had two children who married with the same names, and so on. The Atzi Chaim, the Kloizenberger Rebbe's Shever, had married also somebody, took a son-in-law with the same name. When he died, he not only didn't say it had to do with Tzavos Yibir HaChassid, he had to marry his other daughter, which is two counts against. First, it's the same name as the Shver, it's still the same name. And secondly, marrying one sister after another, he also had Tzavos Yibir HaChassid. It wasn't Makbid. Kozmir Rebbe said he tried to commit the Shver, he said, B'shemayfanat, it's the right thing to do, and that's that. The Divrei Chaim is another, one more, a famous tshuva that about it, a little bit different. Divrei Chaim was Sanzerav, first Sanzerav, a huge Talmud Chacham, and so on. He says, someone asked him, Machmas Savoz Yibir HaChassid Ein Lochesh Bezer Ki Harbis Fekis Be'emes B'chal Dibat Savoz Yibir Zara Lav Ach, he says. And now he gives a klal. So he says like this. To be Choshesh Savoz Yibir HaChassid, it's very unclear what is his, what he says, and so on. And therefore he says, I wouldn't be Choshesh on it. He says a klal. Ach, Bezer Sheroiv Ha'olam Nizharim He has a different klal. If there's any particular item in Tzavos Yibir HaChassid that became extremely known, it became very, people are nizah from it, then a person should be choishes for that, because Klal Yisrael, like the Gemara says, Hanachli Yisrael imena nevim b'nei nevim heim. Klal Yisrael has a chush, and if they decided that a certain thing they should be nizer in, then it's something that's kedai to be nizer in. And then he says, "Ach bezeh shisu b'astoydek v'doshu b'rabim." A lot of people already have done it. V'azeh nema boyer eich olam noyeg, you know, poik chazim ha'amachdabo, v'lakach ein shum chshas v'en yastayt. So he says, if people are not makbid, there's no reason you should be makbid. And then he has another tshuva, a little bit longer, and he says that if someone wrote a letter trying to find a heter, they'd be mefalpel in what in Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He says, "Eicha dabe." He says, "Al pilpul bezein lemoisa." It's really being mefalpel in this inyan is really strange. He said, "Eich bedaver shein lo shum yedia v'undvarim nistarim." No one said it's a gemara. No one said it's a halacha. It comes from Nista, so how am I going to be mefalpel in it? Umichilz kvaytos agreinim basroish is chil mefalpel kavanas abeinir chassid V'chinaskel b'dover shem v'vosach l'asik. Like, what does it mean we write tshuvas on it? And no way to be fouled, but it's not written on pe'al. He didn't say his dinah on pe'al locha. Ulami says, gam l'sak rasom das abir adoin achsidim, gam ke chasom. To go against Rebbe Yehuda Chassid in Furish, yadur Rebbe Yehuda Chassid a rabbi shal smag for Zerua. He was the Rebbe to smag no Zerua. Asher kol Torah seinim and ageinim b'as ashkenaz v'tzorfat nishach achreim. They were the pillars of psak. So he was a gavur rabbi. Belachim bevada yofes yichosn mitayrosn shalbonim achreinim b'sholei merl noyde bihuda shirche b'sholei gerud achosn shal gros ariel. He says the Noyde Bihuda went too far the way he spoke about it. Lamaisa Rebbe Achosid was the giant of his generation, and we don't to go and to speak the way Noyde Bihuda spoke is wrong. Ach be'emes, he says, and so he answers all of these inyanim, that he answers all the inyanim that the Gemara says, you know, that's Feket the Gemaras. He brings the Gemara in Yevamos that says, as when people are mechavim l'shem shemayim, yibum was better to do than chalitza. Once they stopped being mechavim l'shem shemayim, we shouldn't make Yibum because it's carved to be a Maisa Isser, and so on. So you see that even things that Me'ika Din Amuta, but if the Hanhog of the generation is not good, then it's a reason to keep away. So all these Isurim of getting married, he felt the door, it's because the Doris need it. Ach, Machmash Adova Zeh Sofikim Lazarikim Eloi. Since it's unclear whether or not he meant it dafka for his children, if anyone else. So he says again the same klal. B'chai gavna imaloch refevzi yadecho tzeirech oylem noyeg. V'kam b'nasene medakim rak bishes shashmok shem chamois, and so on. So he says that a person should stick to whatever has become accepted, and we assume that that's the right thing, and that's that. So you have different, and there are some, Reb Chaim Falaji and some others, were extremely makpid, and they said, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid wasn't saying it's asa, he was saying it's dangerous. And chamira sakanta misura, and there's cases brought here and there where people didn't listen and something bad happened. There are poskim like that. So you have the full range of shitas and deyas. One of the real problems is the right nusach. There's somebody here who compiled just the different nuschos. So for instance, it says in one place that three people should not live in one apartment, in one house. So what do we do today when you have high rises? The other gear says three people with the same name. That's a very big difference. I mean, that's sort of ayin hara because everyone says, "Wow, this is, you know, look at all these people." The girsos here are so different. To marry two sisters, marry four sisters, they're just many, many different girsos. To say that anyone has the right girsa is really, really hard to say. So I think the klal that most people fall back on is the klal divrei Chaim gives, something that everyone is zohir in, that became sort of something that tzivos nizer. That is what people tend to be machmir. There's another klal in all these inyanim that as long as you find some nafkemina between what he says and what you're saying and what you're doing, it's good. So they'll find some sort of small distinction, difference, stone, not stone, all these type of things that you'll find that also in the poskim. As long as they give some twist to it, they feel it's not the same exact thing. If this wasn't interesting enough, there's one more extraordinary inyan associated with Yehuda Chassid. In the year, in 1974, 75, those years, somebody found Kisvi Yad. This is a person who put out Sfarim, Talmud Chacham put out Sfarim, and he found his Sefer on Chumash, Rabbi Rachas's Sefer on Chumash. So this is a person who put out other Rishonim also. And the problem is, so he worked on the whole Sefer. It was all written up, typed up. And he found in the Sefer a few pieces that are extraordinarily strange. Meaning that he writes over there that certain lemushel, he writes that the pasuk about Yaakov Avinu putting, switching Menashe and Ephraim was inserted by Yoshua. Three places like that where he writes for no reason. Like this pasuk was written, he writes that the shira on the be'er was written. Really, the shira because on the be'er is halak gadol, but David HaMelech removed it and put it in Tehillim. And one more thing like that. Very strange, and really very hard to explain it, that it shouldn't be against Ikra Emunah. So three people were asked, Reb Moshe and Reb Eliashiv and Shlomo Zalman. Reb Moshe was the most kanoi. He said they shouldn't print any of it. They said obviously someone else's writings has gotten into it. He says it's apikorsis, no two ways about it. If anyone says that one ois in the Torah was written by somebody other Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not apikorsis. We say it every day. We say Danny Maimons, and what does it mean? So obviously, whatever it is, those three pieces are so bad that how can we trust anything else? So he printed an edition. Reb Eliashiv and Reb Shlomo Zalman said, as long as you take out the problematic pieces and you look over the rest, you can print it. Reb Moshe wrote a tshuva, a second tshuva, that he's very upset with that, but he's not going to say anything, but he was very unhappy. He said, how do we know? And he found there are other things there that you can explain it differently, understand it differently, but it's still, in the end, they did print it, and they took out, they had one edition, and then the second edition, they took out the problematic pieces, and that's how it's printed. But again, it's something, it's a ksaviyad, no idea who wrote it, no idea how many things he added, no idea of some parts of that ksaviyad, I mentioned others, but we have no idea whatsoever about who, what, when, and where. And Moshe is extremely strong about it. You'll take a look at your Yodei Gimel in Simen Kuf Yudalad and Kuf Tesvav. He really, really was very upset. He was upset that they let it print it at all. But Rashom Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv said, okay, so he didn't come out against it. But that was another very, very extraordinary Inyan associated with Yudah Hasi. So I guess taking a step back or two, it was an extraordinary, the whole musig of Hasidus, meaning Lifnim Eshor Sadin, doing activities that are to make a person more Kaddish, that are not associated with Halach and so on. This is very possibly the first Kuf in Klal Yisrael, and this was a whole movement. The Rokeach, a lot of Gematrius in Yonim with Malachim, a lot of mysterious things. They were part and parcel also of the Halachic process. They're mentioned, brought about. There is a Pirush, a Tosfos Rebbeinu Chosid HaBroches. It's not him. It's someone who was a contemporary. His name was Rebbe Yehuda Sirlion, but not no shaykhs whatsoever. People sometimes mix it up. But the musig of people, the fact that he fasted every day of his life, that he pushed it, it was painful for him to eat on Shabbos. He was somebody who was completely... his whole Ramach Eber Sagidin were there for Avodas Hashem. In Sefer Hasidim, there are all sorts of pieces about being totally devoted to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dovek Na Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was a chassid, in the full sense of the word. what we don't know, we don't know. That's part of the struggle when we deal with things like Nayibuda says, things that are, or the V'chaim says, things that are not mitzad halacha, how to judge and how to be done on it is difficult. It is one of the things that, you know, comes up, especially with shidduchim and so on. I usually tell people to ask somebody big, so that let somebody take it on its shoulders because of this element of sakana and so on. I do know in the Mir, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is, he and his sister married a brother and a sister. Reb Chaim's married Finkel, and his Rebbetzin's brother married Shmulevitz. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein had two daughters married to two brothers, very, very harsh, of Ginsburg, of Ephraim Mordechai Ginsburg, and the one that's, I think, was Blaze, I don't remember his name, Reuven maybe. They were, so one of them was Nifta actually, but I've never heard anything that anybody even had a Havmin had to do, so it was a bit of Hasid. So it's different big people were like very differently when it came to it. But this is Al Kaponim, an overview of an extraordinarily fascinating Tkufa, an extraordinarily fascinating person who was really a malach. And that's why we struggle in not understanding what exactly it is, the legacy that he left us. What do you want in this Tzavah and so on? Okay.